At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a great start to their day today. We got a lot going on the program today. Charles Robinson will be with us at 7:30. We will get into all things Titans and NFL with him. TD with us at 8 o'clock. Weekend winners at 8:30. We got a rant at 6:45. We got a lot of stuff going on the program here today. Joe Rexroad, happy Friday to you. Good morning. What's going on?
Happy Friday. Not much. Good needed win for the Preds there that you covered last night.
Yes. And they fell behind 2-1 in the third period, and it was like, well, are they about to lose to the Chicago Blackhawks to start this thing out? And that would not have been good. So a couple of big goals, Matthew Wood, Ryan O'Reilly, and then Stamkos added an empty netter there. But nice win for the Predators, at least from the result standpoint. It was an extremely sloppy hockey game, which I guess is to be expected for the first game after the three-week break. Very sloppy.
Yeah, exactly. You expect that. Even though there's desperation out there, like for a team like the Preds, but you got to expect that it might take a little bit of time to get some things sharpened up. You find a way to win. You know, that's what matters. I enjoyed Alex Doherty's tweet about, oh, well, you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
Let me tell you about this tweet. It was a funny tweet. It was like Forsberg still mad at the Swedish coach after he scored his goal. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. We were talking about that last night in the press room. It's like, you know, halfway thinking about going in the locker room after the game. He's like, so, Philip, who do you like more, Andrew Brunet or Sam Hallam? Let's spell it out here together.
So, if other fans want to, like, taunt him, they should just be like, Hallam.
You know, one of those fat heads like of Sam Hallam up there? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Very interesting. But good win for the Predators. And then they got a heck of a test coming up this weekend on the road against the Dallas Stars. So we'll see how they respond to that. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine, thanks. Nothing too crazy to report out there. A little cooler. It's one of those days where you got the little bit of dew on the windows. Just give yourself a couple minutes to defog yourself there. But, yeah, watched the end of the game, hockey game. But that was about it. Thanks. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, it's, it's going to be a sprint towards the end here for the Predators, so Saturday, Monday, Tuesday is the next schedule coming up. You got on the road Saturday, home on the afternoon on Monday, and then back on the road on Tuesdays. That's basically what it's going to be for the Predators for the rest of the year here, so we'll see what that looks like. By the way, I mean, L.A. got destroyed last night by the Oilers, and the Predators leapfrogged them in the standings.
Yes, 8-1.
8-1. I mean, they just got absolutely massacred last night. So not going well for L.A. in the two games to open up since the break. Predators are 2 points behind Seattle for the final wild card spot, Joe. Dead even in games played. 2 points back.
Very interesting. And making it interesting. And I'll tell you what, you know, think back a few months. We would not have guessed that would happen. Even though we've seen it before, I would not have guessed that this team would have made it this interesting.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yes.
There you go. And also, boy, L.A., they must really love the Olympics.
Yep. Now, they could also, you know, elect to play some defense at some point. You know, Kevin Fiala didn't do a whole lot of that. So play a little defense. Be nice at some point.
But if you're playing offense, you don't have to play defense.
That's true. That is true. So, Joe, to end our show yesterday, and when I say to end our show, I mean in the last 15 seconds of our show yesterday, Tavondre Sweat was traded from the Tennessee Titans to the New York Jets in exchange for Jermaine Johnson, long enough for us to say, hey, look, Tavondre Sweat got traded. We'll see you in the morning. So, obviously, there's been almost a full day at this point for people to react to that. But, Joe, we haven't really gotten your thoughts or my thoughts on this yet because, of course, that's how the timing of things worked out yesterday. So, Joe, your thoughts now that you've had 21 hours to think about it on Tavondre Sweat being traded from the Titans to the Jets in exchange for Jermaine Johnson.
I mean, I guess we shouldn't complain. Like, a lot of these things happen like right after, so there's not even anything, right? Like, at least we conveyed the information,
It's true.
right? You look at it that way.
Making progress.
You do have to wonder sometimes, like, is Borgon's like, ah, these radio idiots, I'll wait until that show's over, then we'll make the deal, you know? Like,
I
like
really don't like the voices they do about me and my owner.
but no, I look, I think it's I think it's I like it a lot. Yeah, I was a big Tavondre Sweat guy when they drafted him. I because again, his last year at Texas, it was just like, oh my gosh, if this guy figures it out, man, like he's very talented, you know. Again, the agility for his size, there's no question. I mean, he's a talent. And also, to me, there's no question that he has not maximized himself here, and that's concerning. So there was all this talk about he was gonna, like work out with Jeff Simmons this off season and things like that. But then you throw in the scheme, which we've talked about. And again, I never buy like zero chance of a like a scheme fit, because it's just like if that's the case, you're too rigid as a coach. But Saleh did talk pretty extensively this week about the sideline to sideline expectations for D linemen. And it's like sideline to sideline. How about like, between the hashes? Is
Yeah.
that okay? I mean, how about like making it from left guard to right guard? Like what, what? It just didn't seem like it was going to be a great fit unless Sweat came back kind of a changed man. And now we'll see, how that works out for him with the Jets. I've seen some interesting discourse. Some Jets fans think they got the better of this deal, but I just obviously Jermaine Johnson did not have a great year last year. He was off the Achilles, but we see this, we talk about it, we've seen it before. The next year after the Achilles, for a lot of time, especially guys who are young, as he is, usually you see closer to return to form, and if that's the case. If he can play the way he played in 24, that's a heck of a football player. And that's a player who's going to be on the field a lot for the Tennessee Titans. And it takes care of to me, it takes care of one side there. Even if it's not going to be, you're not talking about a double-digit sack guy necessarily, but you're talking about a guy who does everything well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's played for Robert Saleh, so there's a comfortability there for Robert Saleh that immediately stands out when you're talking about this trade. You go back to 2023, Jermaine Johnson had 7.5 sacks. He was a Pro Bowler that year. Now, I don't know what that means in the National Football League anymore, but he was a Pro
There.
Bowler that year. And again, you're talking about the Achilles injury. You have last year coming back from that, and then this next season with the Titans will be that second year off of that. So what does that look like in terms of how explosive he looks, the production? You think back to last year on that horrible Jets defense, Joe. He played 14 games. He had 3 sacks. The production wasn't the same, obviously, as it was back in 2023 when he had that big year. Obviously some of that's him. How much of that is that awful defense who, as we've pointed out a couple of times, Joe, also somehow found a way to not intercept the football from week 1 through 17, which is borderline impossible to do in the NFL. So it's the Jets. It's bad stuff going on. But at age 27, coming in with a coach that you've obviously worked with before and had some success with, what does that look like for Jermaine Johnson this year? Look, I'll put it to you this way. When I started to think about Tavondre Sweat and what the future was going to look like here, I'm with you. It didn't seem like it was going to work out great for the Titans. And if you're talking about trading him for a draft pick, I mean, what are you getting for Tavondre Sweat at this point based on what we've seen. Like a fifth, a sixth, maybe, somewhere in that neighborhood. So to get Jermaine Johnson straight up out of it, I like that deal. Like, I'll take that risk, and I'll make that trade if I'm Mike Borgonzi to move on from, obviously, a guy he did not draft, and we've talked about that. Like, they have certainly cleared out some players that they did not draft in this organization. But to do it with a guy that's still, you know, relatively young but has experience at a position that, frankly, is just more important. Like, I like that deal.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see the one-for-one player deal a ton. It's hard to get that to where both sides feel good about it. Usually, or, you know, at least there's like some kind of pick going one way or whatever, a salary or what, you know, it's just straight up player for player. And yeah, and I like it. And look, you can see the Jets side on this. You know, if you're the Jets, you didn't, you know, it wasn't great last year with this guy. There are reasons. There are reasons around him. There's reasons physically. And you can look at Devondre Sweat and you can absolutely be, you know, you can be tantalized by the possibility. I must say, you know, we rarely get a chance to shame, you know, our cohorts on other shows. But I must say that D-May said that Tamandre Sweat was excellent the past 2 years yesterday, and I almost ran the car off the road. So I would disagree with that assessment. I don't think he's been excellent or anything close to excellent. I think he's flashed at times.
Yeah.
And that's where if you're the Jets, you can see, again, can he get into, you know, even in whatever, different defenses, like you still, you have to be able to play more snaps at a higher level. That's what I think happened is last year you could see, or really I think both years, you could see him wear down at times and too quickly. And the Jets are going to need a lot more than that, I would say.
So Devondre Sweat traded from the Titans to the Jets in exchange for Jermaine Johnson. We'll take your thoughts on that deal. Plus, what does it mean in terms of what the strategy is going to be for the Titans when it comes to the draft? What does it mean for Femi Oladejo and his role next year? We'll get into all that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, live from our Busy V Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Devondre Sweat traded from the Titans to the Jets. Jermaine Johnson coming back in the other way from the deal from the Titans. Taking your thoughts on that. So what does this mean for what the draft strategy is going to look like? What does this mean for Femi Oladejo, Joe, who we've talked about? Second-round pick from a year ago. You'd hope that he's going to take a big step from year one to year two and be a part of this thing moving forward here. And Jermaine Johnson, I don't think, now that you have him, Joe, makes, you know, edge rusher or, you know, David Bailey or Arvell Reese, you know, undraftable at number four. Like, it's still, to me, a need there. So it doesn't change anything from that perspective. Now, you need – definitely now, Joe, some more help at defensive tackle. You're not doing that at number four, but we'll see what that looks like for the Titans this offseason here. So how do you think this move affects the strategy of what we could see this offseason from Mike Borgonzi when it comes to what else they're going to do at edge rusher?
Yeah, I don't look at this at all as like, oh, now it's more likely they draft a receiver or whatever. I don't agree with that. You need difference makers, and you need someone who's a double digit sack. Again, that's not really going to be Jermaine. Like, it's not the same player, but I almost look at him in a way like a Denico Autry. Like, he physical, all, you know, everything tells you that he sets the edge extremely well. You know, again, he's an every down player and all that stuff. Now, Autry also, I mean, a little more juice as a pass rusher, right? But I'm just saying, you know, that sort of guy where it's like any situation works, and you just know you can move the guy around a little bit, stuff like that. It means they have, you know, they're building some depth. It might affect free agency. You know, maybe they don't go out and try to grab someone for a veteran for depth now at that position. But yeah, they still, to me, there's every bit as much need for the young big time pass rushing monster if you can get that person. Some people can disagree with me. I mean, this is again, this is a good. Now, of course, you also now, Robbie, you have to address the interior a little bit more too. You do have that. So that's I guess you add that to the list of needs, and maybe that is something now more pursued in free agency.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Oladejo part of it doesn't change it a whole lot for me because I didn't want Femi Oladejo certainly starting next year based on what we've seen to this point. Now, if he can work himself to a point where you have the conversation of, yeah, he should probably be out there more, well, that's great. I mean, that would be nice. But at this point, I'm kind of expecting Oladejo to be part of the rotation with, I guess, now Johnson and whoever they draft. And look, I mean, this is the luxury, Joe, of having the cap space that they do. I mean, they could still technically go add another rusher in free agency, I guess, if they want to. Now, I don't know if it's the best allocation of resources given all the other needs that they got, but we'll see. Like, well, it gives you some flexibility as to what to do there. But I mean, I go back to Saleh earlier this week when it comes, he was talking about sweat. And I guess the phrase that sticks out, 2 days later, now that they've traded him, was it's gonna be hard, right? Like what he said, is it, it's gonna be hard for Tavondre Sweat. And I guess that's a little foreshadowing into what we saw a couple of days later. One thing he talked about with Oladejo was, the traits that he does have that he feels good about. And he scouted him as a 4-3 end, not just the 3-4 fit that we talked about earlier this week. So all that's good. But clearly, Saleh, pretty comfortable with Johnson here. It's not a coincidence that that's the guy that they went out and got in exchange for Tavondre Sweat. So, the Oladejo part of it's going to be interesting, but I still, like, it doesn't change my thought on it one bit about edge rusher in the draft. I still think that's definitely going to be in play for them. And it's not a guarantee, right? Like, I've said that earlier this week. Like, I'm not moving off the Titans, if they love Carnell Tate. At number four, they could certainly go that way. From the Jets standpoint, I think in front of the Titans now, you can almost guarantee that they're taking, an end, right? Like they're picking at number two. They just gave up one to bring in Tavondre Sweat. I think it maybe does show you what their strategy is going to be, whether that's Arvell Reese or Bailey or whoever, a couple of spots before you.
Yeah, that's true. It probably increases that likelihood. Although I guess with the Jets, you just never know.
That's true.
It's like they'll draft an interior offensive lineman or something and just blow everyone away. But yeah, I think this takes a little pressure off Oladejo. There's still obviously going to be the you use a second round pick and the guy. What is he? It's very important. But I think next year, depending on what all else happens, he could be bumped down a little bit, and you still hope that he can develop into a player who makes a difference. I hate to be optimistic about the Titans, but what if they do get like a Bailey? Now they have Johnson. Oladejo comes on, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, they actually have multiple options. They have depth. They have different people that can come up from different angles. You can move people around. And this is, anybody's watching any Robert Saleh defenses, they fly around, come at the quarterback from different angles. He's a huge. Well, I mean, any defensive coach in football is huge. We need to get pressure with four guys so that you have the flexibility to do different things with seven in coverage. They still, and then you throw in what Jeff can do. I mean, it could look different, and you could be quite a bit better at that aspect of which to me is one of the most important aspects of football is affecting quarterbacks.
Well, does it signal, Joe, that they're going to take Reuben Bain and slide him inside with the arm length officially out at 30 and 7/8 of an inch yesterday, which is one of the shorter ones that they've measured there?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad about it, but I gotta say, man, it is like you look at someone had the list yesterday of top pass rushers in the league and their arm lengths, and it's all like 35, 33 to 35, basically,
Yeah.
And again, it's like, is that what matters most? No, but it is part of the equation. It's part of the equation of handling the punch of these 6'6", 6'7" offensive tackles. I feel like yesterday, it's wild to me that, by the way, he told people that no one has even brought up the arm length. It's like, well, they're talking about it behind your back then,
Yeah,
Ruben. I
I
mean,
don't
yeah, you.
necessarily believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, I guess maybe it's like what is somebody going to say to him? Like, hey, so you got short arms, huh, buddy?
Stretch them out.
Yeah, can I shake your hand? I just want to see how close I have to get to you to shake your hand.
How's your hug?
We're basically hugging just
Yeah.
to shake your hand. So that's great. We'll just hug. Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess it makes sense. People are going to say, Ruben, we're really worried about your arms, buddy.
Yeah.
Tell me about your arms. Like, how did they get so short? But
Any
I,
way you
yeah.
could fix those? Yeah.
Yeah. Here, just hold on to these bars and just hang there for like 3 hours a day. See what happens. Yeah, I do like a lot of reaction yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, here comes the Ruben Bain plummet. And you know what? It may be because it is. It's really interesting. He is going to be such a fascinating test case because I believe in him as a football player. I do. I believe in him as a football player. I actually really liked like his interview too. Like I just
Yeah.
I like how he like I don't even think like combed his hair for the interview. He just kind of like showed up. He was like, hey man, whatever. I'm a football player. I'm gonna
Yeah.
kick somebody's ass, But this thing is some people. I mean, people who are like, we need an edge. You have to think about this, and it's like wherever you're picking, like is it worth that? Is it worth the fourth pick to take him? It's really fascinating. Again, I've already favored Bailey because I just think he's a classic, just speed rushing sack guy, and I think that he will be really good. I think there's a little bit more certainty there, but as people tell you, like Bain's film is better. It's
Yeah.
more it's more relentless. It's more complete. And now you have this aspect to it. It re really going to be interesting. He's going to be probably as interesting an outcome as this draft has probably.
With Bane,
I
I do
mean,
have a quick question. Do you guys feel an uptick in his production in the playoff compared to the regular season? You watched Miami more in the regular season. Was there an uptick in that? And is that a concern at all?
he was awesome in the playoffs. I mean,
Did we notice him in
he
the
hadn't
regular
missed a door.
season like that, though? You know? Is there a concern about that?
I mean, there were people. I mean, I have to. I don't have like the breakdown in front of me. I mean, there were people talking about, hey, he should be the Heisman winner. Actually, I know one of my coworkers voted for Bailey as a Heisman guy. But no, I mean, I don't. I think the thing with Bain, like the motor stuff, which sometimes you hear about players like, taking plays off, whatever. So like, that's not really a thing with him. I don't have. I mean, I think he was pretty productive and destructive all year long, including in those big stakes games in the playoffs. So I think it really is just with him. It's just the measurables
Yeah.
and how that just usually does not work coming off the edge.
Well, to put the arm length, and again, I mean, this is classic NFL combine conversation. It's the only sport we do this stupid stuff with, but it's what we do.
Yeah.
The apparently only two edge rushers since 1999 have measured in with shorter arms at the NFL combine than Ruben Bain. So it's not just like it's, well, your arms are kind of short. It's like there's only been two people since 99 with the data that they have at that spot, at that position, that have measured shorter arms. So,
Do you
look,
know who? Do you know
I
who?
have no idea. I
Okay.
have no idea. Just the every article I'm seeing, there's only two guys. It's like nobody names the two guys, but only two guys apparently have measured in shorter. So, to like you said, is it the be all end all? No. Like, there's a lot about Bane that I like. Does it make it less likely that he gets drafted in the top five? Yeah, I think it does, Joe. Like, I think, the measurables
Yeah.
are going to count in this for some teams.
Yeah, no, there's some teams that I think it's like we just can't mess with it. But like, the cliche, it only takes one.
Yeah.
Like, is it possible the Titans are the team that's like, and Saleh's like, dude, give me that guy. I'll put him. I don't give a crap where I put him. I'll put him next to Jeff. And guess what teams are going to do? They're going to crap themselves. I mean, like, it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a team, multiple teams that feel that way. It's just like, where does that happen? Is it possible that the Titans could like him best at four?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Continuing to take your thoughts on the aftermath of the Tavondre Sweat, Jermaine Johnson trade. What does it mean for the Titans and their draft strategy? All that and more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Right Time HVAC and Cromwell Media teaming up to bring comfort back to your home. Is your heating system struggling or completely out of commission following the winter storms? If so, nominate yourself for the Right Time Home Rescue and tell us your story. Enter today at thegamenashville.com/HVAC and you can win a new HVAC system installed by Right Time HVAC as well. Right Time HVAC, locally owned and operated. There's never a wrong time to call Right Time. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, what do you think this means for Tavondre Sweat? You're a second-round pick. You spend a couple of years with the team that drafted you, and then they ship you off to the New York Jets. So, on the one hand, I mean, you've already been traded at this point in your career, and now, unfortunately for you, you have to go play for the New York Jets. What do you think this means for Tavondre Sweat and his future?
Yeah, it's not exactly the place to go to get things rolling, right? It's like this. Usually it's like, oh, you were on the Jets. Well, then we understand. Wow, look at how much better you are at whatever you do because you're no longer in the Jets organization. Congratulations. Usually it's not like, oh, yay, you went to the Jets. That should be really good for you. Poor Aaron Glenn's falling asleep during drills too. I'm sure that'll go over well in New York.
Looking like a great hire.
Yeah, man. Which is again, who knows? He was definitely a good defensive coordinator with Detroit. I mean, I thought it was a good hire. It's like you just go there and immediately just turn to a buffoon. I don't know, man. It's incredible ownership there, but. Yeah, it's for Sweat. I thought the idea of him working out with Jeff Simmons was good because obviously Jeff Simmons can tell him, like, look at what I did last year. Look, I was good, you know. I was a very good player. But look at when I cut the weight and got a little bit quicker, look at what happened, right? I'm about to get another deal because of that. And legit Pro Bowl. And by the way, the Pro Bowl you brought up earlier, like with Jermaine Johnson. I do, like, Pro Bowl to me, other than, like, quarterback, we have to dismiss now. Because, like, everybody just, like, nah, thanks, I'm good. And then it's like, you get just whoever to be quote-unquote. But I think for the most part, like, most other positions, it's like, yeah, I think there's a legitimacy to it. Also, I just feel like people should be designated, like, were they named Pro Bowlers or are they substitute? Can we do that? Can we put, like, in parentheses a little S, like substitute? They were part of it in whatever way just because someone declined? You know what I mean? If that's the case.
I would love to know.
Yeah. Like that's an important thing. But anyway, Sweat, he's going to have to just – I don't care what scheme you're in. Like he wasn't excellent here. He flashed here. He made – he'll play here and there. Here you could see the talent. It's not like we couldn't see that there was talent, but to me it was 2 years of, man, he's talented, but like there's just no way that guy is maximizing himself. There's just no way. I'm sorry. Yes, you some people are just huge human beings, and that's fine, but it's clear he did not play anywhere close to his optimal playing weight here, and that's on him. And you know, so some of the real serious maturity issues that the Titans were trying to address during the draft process. Remember Rand Carthon and Brian Cannon, they went down there and talked to his family and all that stuff. None of that stuff manifested itself, but he did not live up to his talent. He did not play up to his talent. He was not in the shape to do that. Is that going to change for him in New York? I hope so, because he could be a really fun player in this league and he could have a hell of a career, but I mean, like, it's self-discipline is – you can't tell me that that wasn't lacking and that that didn't affect his career, and that's why he's somewhere else now.
I'll tell you one thing that I think we've learned about Mike Borgonzi in a short period of time. I mean, you're heading into what is now his second offseason. He hadn't been here that long. He is not afraid to move on when he's done with somebody, right? Like, you know, the Jarvis Brownlee thing, he moved on pretty quickly. And you and I both looked at that and said, "Really? I mean, it's a fifth round corner that was good enough to be a starter for you. Like, did he really have some sort of either character concerns or locker room fits that was that difficult to overcome that you move on from him that quick?" And now you've moved on from Sweat. And look, right or wrong, I mean, you can disagree with both moves that he's made on that front if you want to. You can disagree with the Brownlee move. But I mean, clearly, when Borgonzi looks at the situation and decides that he's done, and he moves on. I mean, I guess that's one thing I've learned about him pretty quickly. There's no waiting around.
Yeah, no doubt. He makes the moves, man. And again, I still go back to last year and will question where they are at corner and whether, doing all of that was what was right altogether. But I definitely like this one. I mean, I think this is one of his best moves with the Titans. Of course, we still don't know. Like his first draft, really, like there's some promising stuff. There's the big question over the entire organization with the number one pick. And, like we've talked about, the second round pick has got to look better than it did last year. But you're right. When he wants to, he will move on, and we will see this soon. Of course, obviously we know Snead's going to be out of here. Cushenberry, a little bit of, I didn't necessarily see that coming. We got the Ridley decision coming too, but he is changing things rather quickly overall when you look at the whole roster, and overall needed to.
Sure. I mean, you're talking about a 3-14 team that he walked into. Now, it's a 3-14 team still. So this is, not a whole lot going on in the way of wins. So I have no problem with you turning over the roster. It's one thing that's stand out or that stood out to me pretty quickly is he identifies players he thinks fits and players he doesn't think fits, and he just moves on after that. So, I mean, in some ways I kind of like that. Like, you're decisive, and we'll see, in that decisiveness, how good is your decision making? That's going to be, what the job kind of boils down to with him. But definitely, I mean, people are going to continue to make a big deal of the we got to get all the draft picks from Ran out of here, and like the guys that I didn't draft, let's move out of here. I don't how much of it is that? I have no idea. I think he's talked about that before, and that not really being a priority. I don't think he's ever going to come out and say that, but it is interesting. He's like, "Brownlee, see ya. Sweat, see ya. We'll see you later." And you're going to bring in his own guys now.
Yeah, you certainly. It's not good if you have to get rid of every, player picked previously. There were actually some good acquisitions under Rand Carthon. I know this. It's a big Rand Carthon week around here,
Well.
But obviously you've got those offensive linemen. He's not moving on anytime soon from Skoronski or I think Latham, right? I mean Spears is I think still gonna have a role around here. I guess, yeah, you are saying goodbye to Chig, it appears. So it's getting thin. You do have Cedric Gray, who is absolutely, I think, a big part of the future here for that Titans defense. It wasn't all bad. I'm just saying. I know that's an unpopular take.
That is true. Let's
It
head to
is
the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mike in Gallatin to the program. Mike, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey guys, good morning. Quick question. So with us bringing in Johnson, is that somebody that we immediately have to start looking at a contract extension for, or is this how you wait out and see how he plays this year before you run and do that? The only thing that I was not stoked about for the trade was you're trading a guy that had a few more years of rookie contract eligibility for another guy coming off a big injury that you didn't have a whole lot of question marks about. The thing I did like and appreciate, though, was that Robert Saleh got the best out of him while he was at his defense. So we have to like to hope that he can regain some sort of spark that he got from there. But if we're going to have to do that, and we already know that Skoronski and Simmons have contracts that need to be written up probably this offseason, do you add him to the pile, or is it something that you kick to down the road?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I would say this: there's no way I'm giving Jermaine Johnson a contract extension right now.
No.
Like that, if
No.
I'm Borgonzi, it's like, look, man, we think you're a good player. you've got an opportunity here this year to go out there and prove it. And if you do, then we'll have that conversation. But that would probably be where that conversation begins and ends with me if I'm Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. I don't think you'll see that. And you don't have to do it now. And so I think it's a very, very much situation of, hey, we know you can play in this scheme. You're reunited with a coach you played your best football under. And also you're coming off this Achilles. And so there's some wait and see, and let's see it, you know. And I think that's totally fair, and that's the way to play it. And real quick, we did have some people on both chats. I think Matthew and Jolton was telling it's the two guys were Nate Williams and Tyree Johnson. Although then someone also pointed out that Terrell Suggs was a short arm guy, and you know, again, interesting play, but he kind of moved around guy, right? But he had similar arm length to Reuben Bain, so there is that.
There you go. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Charles Robinson will be with us for his weekly visit at 7:30. Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I will fart your world up.
Coach Harbaugh came out of the bathroom and I said, Coach, I would be honored to pour some liquid soap into your hand.
If my zipper's up, I feel like I'm in style.
He's a quarterback fluffer.
I will fart your world up.
It's the excessive sex and the excessive violence.
God bless America. Yeah, it's not Springsteen.
You want to be in the All 22, Robert?
It is that time of the day. It's time for the Rob Rant here on the program. Normally it's 7:45, but we got things going on the show today. Charles Robinson will be with us during that time, so we moved it around today. And Joe, in years past, I probably would have just said, you know what? Let's scrap the rant for one day. But Ian's so good at these mashups that I'm never scrapping it again. So we will definitely rant every day.
That's really why we do it. Just so
it
we
really
can,
is.
We can let Ian cook.
That's really it. I mean, honestly, it really is why we do it. So, John, I want to take you on a journey today. I invite you to come with me on a journey. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the last few years talking about, you know, Peter Skoronski and J.C. Latham and Treylon Burks, Caleb Farley, Isaiah Wilson, Cam Ward. What do all those guys have in common? They're first-round picks of the Tennessee Titans. So, obviously, I mean, it's, you know, premium picks, high level of importance that you nail those picks as an organization. And, you know, we talked about Skoronski yesterday. Looks like he's going to get a second deal. Latham with some progress toward the end of last year. We'll see on Cam Ward. You know, obviously it did not go well with Wilson and Farley and Burks. Joe, this journey I want to invite you on, let's take a look at how second-round picks for the Tennessee Titans have gone lately. I'm just going to read off the last five for you. Femi Oladejo, Tavondre Sweat, Will Levis, Roger McCreary, Dylan Raidens. Those are your last five second-round picks. You know, Roger McCreary, nice player, right? Nice player, did a solid job for the Tennessee Titans. Those other guys, Joe, I think you would be hard-pressed in a five-year span to go back in NFL history and find, to this point, second-round picks in a five-year span that you've gotten a whole lot less from, right? Like Oladejo, we'll see, but not a great start last year. Sweat, eh. Not very good, to be honest with you. Levis, eh. Again, McCreary, nice player. Dylan Raidens, eh. We spent so much time talking about the first-round picks. For the love of God, find somebody in the second round that can play football for you this year, too, if you're Mike Borgonzi. It shouldn't be that hard to find some serviceable, good football players in the second round. But, my God, the Titans have made it hard over the last few years.
Yeah, now I want to know, like, how many second-round picks in NFL history in the Hall of Fame? It's a big number, I promise you. How many starters? How many, well, Pro Bowlers, but, you know, whatever, all pro. I mean, all over the league, second-round picks are critical. And if you want to go back a little further, now 20, Christian Fulton, that actually would have been the one decent pick out of the 2020 draft, you know, out of the COVID draft under John Robinson. Still was like, it didn't live up to what you wanted from a second round pick, but it, like, okay, fine. And then we know, like, the tremendous second round pick of 2019 with AJ Brown, before that Harold Landry, you know, before that Derrick Henry. So, you know, they had a really good history, and that fed the really good era, right? I mean, especially you think about just Derrick Henry, you know, 21, you know, the 21 team that's the number one seed in the AFC, you know, just Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, and then also Landry that year was great. Right? Like Landry, yep. And the whole front with Sims, all that. So think about that, just the second round, isolate it as how important it was. And then, as you said, you just went through all the players who absolutely have a big hand in the terrible era they're in now. So it's a great point, because we do focus so much on the first round picks. And, you know, when you combine the firsts and seconds, you know, it's just, you know, granted, you know, Skoronski, you know, is fine, but then obviously the disasters that we talk about way more often, you know, the Burks and the Farleys and the Isaiah Wilsons, you know, combine the first and seconds, and it's like, yeah, you're just gonna have a hard time overcoming that. Even if you do like better in free agency than they did, you'd have to do like some unbelievable magic tricks with drafting like that.
You know, I said, go back through NFL history, you'd be hard-pressed to find, you know, second-round picks that you've gotten a whole lot less from. I mean, I'll give you another three-year stretch and, you know, not so far gone Titans history of second-round picks. This is from 2013 to 2015, your second-round picks for the Tennessee Titans. Justin Hunter, Bishop Sankey, Doriel Green-Beckham. How about that?
Wow, man. Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah, you know, with first round picks, including Taylor Lewan and Marcus Mariota, he was pretty good. Taylor Lewan was obviously turned out to be a great pick. One of the first rounder in 13. Wow, what a combo. Man, let me look at that. Look at that draft, like the 2013. Chance
2013
Warmack,
draft class, maybe the worst one I've ever seen.
Chance Warmack, Justin Hunter, Ray Wilson, Bleedy Ray Wilson. You got Xavier Gooden also in the third round. I mean, you get Brian Schwanke there in the fourth round. Oh my goodness, just
Bleedy Ray Wilson. That's a blast from the past, right there. Isn't
boy,
it?
Yep.
It's like trading places. Looking good, Bleedy Ray.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, they had some just beauts. I suppose in 14, you did pick up Daquan Jones and Avery Williamson. Those guys ended up being pieces, you know, starters on the defense. So that's good. But then even like 15, you know, DGB, then you go Jeremiah Patassi. Oh my goodness. I mean, you got Jalston Fowler in there in the fourth round.
Whew. Good Lord.
Yeah, they really, and again, even through this, the good era, we talk about like Derrick Henry. They had three twos in 16. Derrick Henry, Hall of Famer. That worked out pretty well. Austin Johnson, fine.
He's
starter,
okay.
And then Kevin Dodd.
Whew. Yep.
At 33. So basically a first rounder. So, and of course, you know, the Kevin Dodd, there is so much of like the history repeating itself 10 years later and stuff. And it's just, you just really don't. If you're Femi Oladejo, you just really don't want to hear people talking about Kevin Dodd, because that's just, it's too irresistible a comparison if this doesn't, you know, get a lot better this year.
Let's just figure out our first and second round picks for a little bit of a length of time moving forward. That's my charge to Mike Borgonzi. If you can do that, you're going to like where you are here in a couple of years. But boy, are they on a run right now of first and second round picks. Like, everybody focuses in on the first round picks. They're on an impressive run right now of just absolute futility from their second round picks. They really are.
Yeah. I would say, and look, I don't want to put everything on one draft, but I would be willing to, you know, we know last year's first is going to tell the story more than anything, but this year's first and second, you know, if Borgonzi hits, if those guys hit, I think I just really like their chances way more to be here, like in, you know, whatever, 2-3 years.
Yep.
If they go empty, I mean, you can just see how it, like, it's just hard to get too much better if you whiff there, as we see.
Yep.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get into some more highlights from the combine yesterday, plus the NFLPA report card numbers have been thrown out there, and there are some interesting ones for the Titans. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.